Moncrief on News Talk.
When Russia began its attempt at a full-scale invasion of Ukraine, Yulia Ryabova was working as a journalist in Odessa. It was, as you might imagine, a scary and extremely stressful time, one that eventually led Yulia to move to Kerry. Among other things, she's the host of the New Residence podcast on Radio Kerry. Yulia, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
When you were working as a journalist in Odessa, did you have any forward notice that, you know, literally the Russians were coming?
Like, they were talking about it, but obviously they tried not to allow any panic inside the country. So they tried to keep things quiet, I would say. And we probably weren't, I wouldn't say we weren't treating that as a real threat, but we were just always hoping for the best and hoping that this horrible thing won't happen. And that's why probably 24th of February was a shock for many people, me included.
Yeah. And do you remember the circumstances when you learned it was actually happening?
I do, yeah. Like, there were explosions in my city at about 5 in the morning. I didn't hear those. I was fast asleep. And then I woke up at 7 o'clock and I saw a message from my friend saying, "Did you hear that?" from back at 5 a.m. And I was like, "Hear what?" And she was like, "Good morning." So that was kind of weird morning to be living through.
Yeah. And you were working in a local television station at the time. Did your job then change quite dramatically when this happened?
It didn't. I suppose the first morning was real tough for many of my colleagues, but I had actually a day off, a half day off. So I had that morning off, surprisingly. That's just coincidence. And then in the afternoon, I came to the newsroom and my colleagues were there just smoking nervously, obviously. People who never smoke started smoking and sharing their news, because they have been to the train stations, to the bus stations. They saw how many people were trying to leave the city and to leave the country as well. And everyone was just terrified because it was the first morning and the emotions were just over the top.
Yeah. And so then in the subsequent weeks and the weeks afterwards, was your workload extremely stressful because of what you were reporting on?
It was, yes, I would say in Odessa, because it's not very close to the front line. We are the city, the sea city, so there is a marine border, which is also quite hard. And in the beginning, there were a lot of marine fighting going on, I suppose. So that part was kind of frightening. But just in terms of my work, probably the hardest part was the curfew, because in the beginning of war, the curfew was really early, probably around like 5 o'clock in the evening. And we had to do everything by that point, because even before that, because we needed to get home after that as well. So we were just rushing through everything, trying to work as effectively as we could, as quickly as we could to do our best. And I was blessed with the best team. We were just working as a single organism. And I think that really saved us in that time.
Yeah. And during that period, did you have a pretty regular electricity supply, for instance, and that kind of thing?
We did, yes. So the first blackout started in November 2022. And they pretty much happened every year since then. It's usually in winter. In 2024, if I'm not mistaken, there was a summer of blackouts, which wasn't easy either, because in Odessa we have really high heat and really, like, really high temperatures in summer. And without air conditioning, it's just very hard for me. I went home in 2024 in summer and it was very hard. But the blackouts in winter, there are just many threats in that, because for many people, their heating depends on the power supply. The telecommunications, so the mobile connection, internet data, everything depends on the power supply. And sometimes you can't reach your grandma who lives like 30 minutes away from you and you just can't ring her. And that can be terrifying as well.
Yeah.
So for me, blackouts of the first year were probably the toughest experience of war. Not even the bombings or like the attacks, but actually the blackouts.
Yeah, and that, well, and I suppose that feeling that you couldn't contact people.
Yes, because you never know, because you hear the explosions you don't know from the very beginning where that happens. So you just try to reach out to your closest ones and just figure out they're okay and everything's fine. And when you can't do that, obviously it's frightening.
Yeah.
And that is what is happening now again this winter. My parents are still in Ukraine. My grandma's still in Ukraine, and they didn't have power for the last 3 or 4 days. There was a massive attack on 12th of December, and up until now, they don't have power supply. There was no water supply for 2 days, and then they restored that, and power is still gone.
Yeah, and for your family still there, has the fighting got closer and closer to them?
It was, so Odessa is in the south. In the south, it's pretty much the same border. So since the city of Kherson was liberated in the end of 2022, half of the city, because it's on the river, so there is right bank that was liberated and there is left bank that is still occupied. And that situation is pretty much the same, and that hasn't changed. But then we have... it's just, I think people don't realize how long the front line is in Ukraine, because Ukraine itself is a very large country. So there is a very long part of the front line where there is active fighting every day. And if you follow it on the maps, there are deep state maps where you can follow the progression of war. Every day, every couple of days, there is more and more territory that is occupied, that is under occupation.
Yeah. And in Odessa, and I'm aware that Odessa was very, very popular as a tourist destination for before all this started. I assume that's all stopped now.
I wouldn't say it's all stopped, because within Ukraine, Odessa is still one of the biggest touristic attractions, and you can't take that from people. People need to go on holidays. And luckily, again, since 2024, I think they cleared this part of the sea that is close to the beaches, so people could actually go there. Because in the beginning of war, you couldn't go swimming. The beaches were mined, and there were also mines that would be kind of blown away from the ships, and they would be just floating in the sea, so it wasn't safe to go swimming. While now they kind of provided safety measures, and now people can actually go and have some rest in summer for a swim, or just even to stay on the beach in the sun to tan and everything.
When did you reach a point where you thought, I have to get out now?
I'd say that was after the first blackouts. The winter of blackouts kind of got me there.
Yeah. And it got you in what way?
I don't know, you just stay at home and lying in your bed. You can't really work without, because in the first winter, we only tried to get generators. Now all businesses have generators and power stations of their own, and kind of the life goes on despite the blackouts. While in the first winter, we were just figuring that out, and then you find yourself just lying in a bed in a very cold apartment, in a very dark, you know yourself in Ireland, it's dark from 4 o'clock onwards, and it's just very, very depressing altogether.
Yeah, I'd imagine so. And so when you said, when you decided that you were going to leave, why did you choose Ireland?
I didn't have many friends abroad, so I was just, there were two reasons for that. I was kind of comfortable with English language, and there are not that many countries where you can go knowing just English. And second thing was that I moved here in summer 2023, so that was a year and a half into the war. And by that point, many countries would reduce their support already. And Ireland was still providing government accommodation and kind of some social welfare, which was crucial for me as I was traveling alone now. And obviously, as a young person, I didn't have many savings to keep myself going for the first time.
Yeah. So when you arrived in Ireland, and was it Limerick they put you in first?
Yeah, so we arrived to Ireland, to Dublin, and just from the airport, they took us straight away to City West, and there they figured out all the documents in the first day. So the system was already working for the people fleeing from Ukraine. And that Thursday, the same day they put us in Limerick into student dorm, and the bus in the evening took us there.
Yeah, okay. So you're in Limerick.
Yeah.
And when you go out, and there was one evening, as I understood it, you decided to go to a local pub. And was it then you realised you couldn't understand a word anyone was saying?
That's right. Yeah, I keep telling that story. But it is true. And it is just so funny because we were just a couple of young people. And we didn't even go to the pub. We just came in to ask for the prices because we didn't know anything about Ireland. We didn't know how much things cost here. Hmm. So we just asked, and he was like a proper old barman. And he started telling us the prices, and it's basically just numbers, which you obviously learned. Like the first thing you learn the language, you learn the numbers, and we couldn't figure out what he was saying. We just couldn't. And at that moment, I think there were three of us, and we were all three just terrified because we thought we knew English, but apparently not.
Yes. So then when you moved to Kerry, and is that why you moved to Kerry? Because people in Kerry have a much more neutral accent and it's easier to understand what they're saying.
I wouldn't say that. I would say Limerick accent is much easier than Kerry, and Kerry speak very fast. And also the Gaeltacht areas, they have their own accent, which is also interesting. No, the reason being was that with the government accommodation, they can move you anywhere when they need, and obviously student dormitory, they needed those rooms for students to come back in September. So they started moving us to different places, and I appeared to be in a place that I wasn't comfortable with. So I started looking for other options, and I found that there is this program that Irish families can provide their accommodation for Ukrainians, basically to host them. And we were just lucky that we found me and my friend, which I met in Ireland, we found a family in Killorglin who agreed to take us on.
Okay.
So we just almost blindly moved to Kerry with two suitcases for two of us. And they picked us from Killarney, they took us to Killorglin, and we stayed with them for the next half year.
Yeah. And on the new residence podcast that you do for Radio Kerry, who is it just Ukrainians you speak to or all sorts of people from other parts of the world?
Yeah, so it started as a project for Ukrainians, and it's actually started in Ukrainian language. So we just try to give them as much information as they could in their own language, because many people don't speak English that well or don't speak English at all. Because you need to understand that many people fleeing Ukraine are elderly people who might not have learned English even at school. And then from that, the project kind of moved to other communities living in Kerry, because it is amazing actually how this this particular county, I can't talk about the entire country, but the Kerry county is so multinational. And I actually can relate to that because Odessa, because of its history and because of the its touristic attractiveness, it is a very multicultural place. You could go in the streets in summer and you could hear French, Italian, Japanese, anything really. So it's the same in Kerry. You can walk along the street, you will meet a lot of Polish people, you will meet a lot of Hungarian people from all the Baltic countries, from all over Europe. You would meet someone from Asia, you would meet someone from Africa for sure. And those people and those stories just don't get that much attention. And they kind of hide in the view, so you don't really think about it, but each person has their own story, and those stories never get told. So it's just an interesting project to be working on and interesting people to be meeting with.
Yes, indeed. Yulia, thanks a million for speaking with us today. More priority. That was Yulia Riabova there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.